All right. Now, we just want to continue. Do you have your books? Did you bring them? No? What a shock. Helper, can you help us out, please? Okay, next Sunday, I'm going to call everybody on Saturday or Friday, or Sunday morning, and I'll tell you to take your book and bring it along. Okay. So grab your book and let's continue what we have been sharing. Hallelujah. This whole month, we've been sharing some serious truths about why non-tithing Christians become poor and how tithing Christians can become rich. And we're talking in particular now about prosperity and how that God wants His people to prosper. Amen. So we have been sharing about Jews. Ah, that reminds me. I have my... Just make sure everybody has a book. Let me... Where's mine? Okay. You people don't believe that I'm a Jew, so I needed to bring some of my Jewish things so you can believe the things I'm sharing with you about Jews. Hallelujah. Is it still there? Okay. Shagun, please watch it for me. Hallelujah. All right. So, the foundation for what I'm sharing with you, why are we learning about Jews? We're learning about Jews because Jews are Abraham's descendants. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says that when you're a Christian, you are also grafted into Abraham's family. That means you also become a descendant of Abraham. Hallelujah. Now, we all agree that Abraham's descendants, compared to all other people groups, are probably the people who are doing the best when it comes to prosperity and just general welfare. Hallelujah. Last week we read through certain statistics about Jews. Do you remember? Some of you were not here last week. But last week we read some facts about Jews. One of them was that the percentage of Jewish households with incomes greater than $50,000 a year is double that of non-Jews, which means twice as many Jewish families earn more than $50,000 a year compared to any other people group here in America. Then we also saw another fact, the percentage of Jewish households with income less than 20,000 is half of that of non-Jews. That means twice as many families earn less than $20,000 a year compared to Jews. Means that most Jewish families are not poor. Hallelujah. Are you getting what we're sharing? 45% of the top 40 of the Forbes 400 richest Americans are Jewish. So take the top 400 richest Americans and 45% of them are Jews. That's nearly half of the top 400 richest Americans are actually Jewish. So you think about it. If America lists the richest 400 or the 400 richest Americans who are in this country, half of them would be Jews. And then the rest would come from all over the place. Okay? Then one third of American multimillionaires are also tallied as Jewish. That means one out of every three millionaires in America is also Jewish. then 20% of, what happened to the 20%? Okay, 20% of professors at leading universities are also Jewish. And then another one is that 40% of partners in the leading law firms in New York and Washington are also Jewish. That's significant, isn't it? 40% of partners in the leading law firms where all the big deals are made are actually Jewish. Then 30% of American Nobel Prize winners in science and 25% of all American Nobel winners are Jewish. So those who win prizes in science for inventions and technology and so on, 30% of them are Jewish, and 25% of all American Nobel Prize winners, not only in science but in any other field, are also Jewish. Hallelujah. Now, this was another interesting categorization that we looked at, that ethnic household income. It's all in your book. Can you see it? Do you have it in your book? Yeah, it's all in your book on page what? 92, exactly. That if the average U.S. income was 100 units, let's say 100 of anything, $100 or 100 of anything, then Jewish families have an income of 172. Isn't it? Yeah. So they are above it by 72. And the next group is the Japanese families, and they are 132. And then Polish, 115. Chinese, 112. Italians, 112. Germans, 107. Anglo-Saxon, that's people of English origin, 107. Irish, Americans, 103, you know. And then Filipinos, 99. West Indians, 94. Mexicans, oh, can you hide this one, please? Can you bring it down a little bit, please? Okay. Mexicans, 76. Puerto Ricans, 63. That's where it ends. Unless your book says more. Hallelujah. But that's the truth. Do you see what I'm saying? Everywhere you go, these people over here, can you go up a bit? Can you go up a bit, please? Commonly have the lowest. Do you see? Native Americans have 60. And then black people of all origins, 32. Do you get it? Now, this is how it is. This is just facts. This is just statistics, and these are numbers that people are compiling. But we are people of the Word of God. Amen. And that is why we need to pay attention, especially to what God says about our own prosperity and His plan for us to experience prosperity and to do well. Hallelujah. Now, according to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. Galatians 3 and verse 29. The scripture says that if ye be Christ, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. Say, I am Abraham's seed. Hallelujah. This is what qualifies you to wear one of these. Trey, you see. So if you have a bed sheet or something, you can just cut a little corner and you can make one of these and just put it on your head and confess that you are Abraham's seed. Now, you are not crazy and you are not making this up. The Bible says that if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That means you qualify to inherit whatever promises God made to Abraham's descendants. Hallelujah. So spiritually, we all have been grafted into Abraham's lineage. And therefore, we qualify to walk in the blessings that God has conferred on Abraham and his descendants. Hallelujah. It says, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. Hallelujah. Is that how to spell Vuzet? I see. Okay. Si vous êtes à Christ, vous êtes dans la, even you are struggling, so la posterité, that means you are part of the posterity d'Abraham. Is that correct? Okay. And what? Héritier selon la promesse. Hallelujah. Héritier selon la promesse. That is what God has made you. He has made you an heir of the promises he made to Abraham. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you are a Christian, it pays to learn how the principles by which Abraham's descendants live to become prosperous. And if you get hold of those principles and apply them to your life, you can also expect to be prosperous regardless of your ethnic background and origin. Can I say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's a very simple thing, isn't it? Right. So today, let's go on to the next chapter. Go on to chapter 12. And in chapter 12, I want you to see page 96, okay? Page 96. Page 96. What Jews believe about giving. What Jews believe about giving. Okay? Now, Jews believe from the Talmud. If you look in the previous page, you just see the Jewish holy books. These are the books that Jews use and the books that they believe, or that guides their lives. One of them is the Mishnah, which is a collection of books that... Trey, you don't have one of these. I can bless you with one. Easy. Lady Pasquale, can you... Sorry? No, I want him... You don't have any left. Really? Okay, Trey, I promise to give you one next week, okay? Let me see if I can get the one on my iPad, and then maybe I'll give you... Okay, I'll give this to you after, okay? All right, so share with somebody, and then... You forgot yours at home, so you can give this to him. Okay, after. All right. She found one. Okay. Yeah, I want you to have it. Okay, it's a different cover, but it's the same book. Okay. It's the same book. It's just... All right. Are you still with me? Is everybody still with me? Okay. Now, just look. The Mishnah is a collection of books. This is page 95. The Mishnah is a collection of books that outlines the detailed laws for Jewish daily living, and it is also a teaching of a rabbi or other noted authority on Jewish laws. Then the Talmud is the other one, and then the Torah. The Torah is basically the Old Testament. You see, it is the body of scripture known to non-Jews as the Old Testament. So everything in the Old Testament is what the Jews refer to as the Torah. That's Genesis up to Malachi. And that's the Torah. Now, these are the books that guide their lives, okay? So when you go back to page 96, okay, from... I want you to understand the mentality. Do you get it? How the people think. Because your thinking affects your actions. Do you understand? And your actions create your results. Hallelujah. So if you think correctly, you act correctly, and you experience positive results. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things they believe is, look at the that little part on the left. It says stage one. I have identified stages of giving. Because they believe that giving is the primary way by which people become blessed. And I'll soon show you a scripture backing that. Hallelujah. Now, there are stages of giving. It says, a person gives reluctantly. That's stage one. You give, but you give reluctantly. Stage two, you give graciously, but less than what you can afford to give. Can you see that? How many have done that before? Okay, let's see stage one. How many have been at stage one before? You've given, but you gave reluctantly. You know how sometimes you can be put on the spot? Do you see? One day, I went, when I say one day, you say one day. One day, okay. One day, I went to a naming ceremony somewhere, you know, and I was the pastor, had gone there, I prayed for the child and everything. Then a certain man came. Then he said, well, we are Africans, and in our tradition, when people come to such a place, we give gifts to the baby so that the baby can buy some powder for the face and something like that, he said. So since the pastor is the one who prayed for the baby, he should be the first person to give the baby the gift. So, pastor, we're waiting for you. Come and give something to the baby. Oh, I was put on the spot. I got up and I found some money in my pocket. And then I went and I gave the money to the baby. But I can tell you the truth. I was not happy at all. I was not happy about it. So I gave, but I gave reluctantly. Do you understand? Now, that is one stage. That's stage one of giving. That stage two is where you give graciously, but you give much less than you could have afforded to give. And most of us practice this type of giving when people beg us for money in the streets. Is it not true? Yeah, you are at the traffic light, someone knocks on your window, and he has a sign, homeless. You see, and then you are thinking, I should give you my money. But you start to feel bad because you're thinking, I'm a Christian, I should be merciful. So you look for some coins that have fallen somewhere in your car, and then you open the window just slightly in case he puts his hand in it to take more than you intend to. And then you just slip out a dollar bill, if he's lucky, or just some coins, and you give it to the person. So you are being gracious to the person you are giving, but it's way below what you could actually do. Do you understand? And Jews identify that as stage two giving. Just, this is a second level type of giving. Now, stage three is where the person gives the proper amount, but only after being asked. Okay? So you can see a need, you can see someone you could actually help, but because he's not asking, you're also not acting. Are you getting it? How many have been in that situation before where you've seen a need you could help, but they didn't ask you for it, and so you decide not to do anything? You know, in fact, you're actually hoping they won't ask. Because especially when it's a relative, you know, if they ask, it will be a problem for you not to give. So you decide that, well, I'll wait for them to ask me. And then you're standing there hoping and praying that they don't ask. Halfway through the time, they have not asked. Three quarters of the way through the time, they have not asked. And then eventually they don't ask. And you walk away with your money, even though you could have made a difference in the person's life. Can you see that? Next one. Stage four is where, wait, did I miss something? Okay, the person gives before they are asked. So you can see that people, now the thing is, it's becoming better, isn't it? The person is giving before he's being asked. You can see the situation and then you give something before you are asked. Then the next one, stage five, is a person gives without knowledge of the recipient, but the recipient knows the donor. The person who is receiving the money knows who gave it, but the one who is giving it does not know who it's going to. Do you understand? That's another level, that you are willing to give even though you don't know who will receive it. Do you understand? If I came here and I announced and I said, look, there's a brother in the church who needs some help. If you're interested in helping him, come and see me after church. You see, then you walk up to me and say, you know that announcement you made today? I want to help whoever that brother is. You don't know who it is. So here is, Pastor, here is $100. Just give it to that brother. You are giving. You don't want or don't intend even to be known. Because you don't even know who is going to get it. But this level of giving is important because it also shows a level of trust. Are you following what I'm saying? And it shows also a level of generosity and graciousness in an individual's heart, where you are prepared to part with what you have, even though you don't know who is going to receive it. Are you following what I'm saying? Then the next level is that the person gives without making his or her own identity known. Isn't it? Yeah. So in this case, where I made such an announcement, maybe at the end of the service, somebody will walk, sneak up here, put an envelope and write something on the back, for the brother in need. And the person will not write their name. They don't know, they don't want it to be known that they have given. Do you understand? Because the normal human behavior is that when you give something significant, you see, at that meeting where, the outdooring thing I went to, there was somebody who also gave a certain amount of money, and then he gave, and he was waiting. And there was someone like an MC in the meeting who was supposed to announce whatever, and this person wanted to leave. The one who gave that money wanted to leave. So he just sat there, waiting. Just waiting. The announcement was not coming. Then he got up and walks over. He walked over to the MC man and said, listen, aren't you going to announce my thing that I... So the MC gets up and says, ah, yeah, excuse me, Mr. So-and-so of this place, he is donating an amount of, $100 for the baby. Then he got up and said... And then he just walks away. It's like, oh, you don't have to mention it. You don't have to mention. Don't have to mention. That's exactly what you have to do. And I'm not leaving this place until you mention it. See, and these are all things that affect your blessing as you give. Are you understanding what we are learning? Then the next one is where a person gives without making his or her own identity known, isn't it? That's number 7, is where the person gives without knowing the recipient and without making his or her identity known, as I described to you, where someone leaves a note here. Then stage 8, which is the highest level, is where a person helps another by enabling that person to become self-sufficient through a gift or loan, or helping him gain or find employment. So you often hear people make comments like, Jews, they help themselves. Have you heard something like that before? Yeah, they would say, these people, they help themselves. They will only employ another one of their own. They'll only do this, they'll only do that. It's a way of thinking. Do you understand? Because they feel that the best way or the best kind of giving is not even that you just give someone a handout or bless them with something, but that you help the person, you help set the person up to be able to make a living for themselves. Hallelujah. And so they believe that that is the highest form of giving. Can I have an amen? Now, skip quickly to the next place. To the next place. Jewish traditional beliefs on page 100. On wealth creation and on wealth creation through giving. What do Jews traditionally believe about the connection between wealth creation and charitable giving? Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Charitable giving means giving where you don't get anything back, isn't it? You are just giving because you believe that you need to give. Hallelujah. All right. Number 1, Jews believe that charitable giving benefits the giver. Hallelujah. They believe that it benefits the giver. When you read Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Read Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Let's have Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. He says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. Can you see that? That work hard to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Hallelujah. He says, remember, Paul was saying that, look, I have showed you all things, how that you must work hard, labor to support the weak, support the people who do not have, support the people who are struggling. And then he said that, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Hallelujah. Now, I know that this is hard for people to believe, because it's real fun to receive. Is it not true? How many have received something before? We've received a gift. Maybe recently. How many have recently received a gift? Raise up your hand and let's see. Yeah. That is, even when someone wraps a present, you don't even know what's inside. But just the fact that something has been wrapped in your name brings some kind of joy. Is it not true? Yeah, it puts a smile on your face to know that there's a box or a present. Even if someone was to tell you, as we are having the service, someone was to lean over and reach out to you and tell you, oh, you know, remind me, I have something for you at the end of the service. You see, your whole service experience will change. Yeah, the whole experience in the church will change. You can't wait for the service to be over. You are not going to leave in a hurry because someone just told you that, listen, I have something for you. And when the thing is wrapped, you know, it is only after you open it to discover it's a handkerchief that you are going to maybe cool down a little bit. But the truth is that we all love to receive because receiving is nice. But Jesus said that you should strive for the blessing. Hallelujah. What we read, we now, in the course of our study, we read a verse that said that it is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. Do you remember that? Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22, it says, it is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. Hallelujah. And so Jesus said, you should go for the blessing because it is more blessed. It is more blessed. Here's the verse, Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. So it's the blessing of God that you want. And if it's the blessing that you want, then you must do what brings it. And Jesus said that it is more blessed. You get more blessing being on the giving side than being on the receiving side. Hallelujah. That's why I'm saying that it's better for you to identify with people who are doing well. It's better for you to see yourself, even in spite of your circumstances, to see yourself as someone who is doing well. Amen. Because when you think of yourself as someone who is doing well, you are able to give. You are able to see, you see yourself as someone who can make a difference in someone's life. Hallelujah. But when you think of yourself as someone who doesn't have enough, it closes your hands and makes you stingy. It makes you not give anything to anybody because your mind is that I don't have. Hallelujah. But I don't have is relative. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, you're sitting here, you have 2, 3, 4 pairs of shoes, but you still add yourself to the I don't have. But there is another group of I don't haves whose feet are bare on the ground. They also use the same phrase, I don't have. You get it? So when they meet the two of you walking in town and say, we both belong to the I don't have group, then you irritate the other one who is barefooted because he can see your shoes. He can see how last week you had on a blue pair and this week you have on a white pair and next week you have on another pair and the person can see. But both of you say, I don't have. Usually, I don't have is reflective of a state of discontentment. Are you following what I'm sharing with you this morning? So we must add ourselves to people who have. We must see ourselves as people who have. See yourself as someone who has. Hallelujah. And just as not having is relative, and there are levels of not having, there are also levels of having. Do you understand? And so if you happen not to be at a certain level, maybe you are not able to give at a certain level. You are not able to give at a certain level. But being able to give at the level where you can give qualifies you and makes you more likely to go to the next level of giving than saying that I don't have. Can I have an amen? Amen. That is why I tell people, no matter how little you have, learn to pay a tithe on it. If I bless you with a dollar and that's all you have, just put 10, what's 10% of the dollar? 10 cents. That sounds very small. Are you sure it's 10 cents? All right. But if I bless you with a dollar, you need to learn, you see, it's the exercise of giving you want to partake in. It's not an amount of money you want to give. Do you understand? Because what will 10 cents do? Both for you and even the person who is receiving it. But it's the fact that you have become a partaker of the exercise that leads to the more blessed life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is why you must give, no matter how small it is. If somebody, something happened to someone here and we said, can we all just make a contribution and bless? It would be unfortunate for you to count yourself out because you feel, oh, you know, because I don't have. No. Add yourself. Find what you have. Even if it's 50 cents, if it's just a quarter, that's what you have. Because you want to get yourself in the line of blessing. And the line of blessing belongs to those who are giving. It is the blessing will bring you the wealth, but those who are giving, give me that verse again. Acts chapter 20 and verse 25, 35. Jesus says, he says, remember how the Lord said that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Which side do you want to be on? I want to be on the more blessed side. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must strive to be on the more blessed side. So always try to give something. Can I have an amen? Try to, every opportunity you get, try to give something. Add yourself to the givers. Say amen. Amen. All right. Number two, very quickly. Jews believe that you must not live beyond your means. Instead, give beyond your means. Giving money away makes more money come back to you. Can you see that? They're saying that Jews believe that you must not live beyond your means. That means you must learn to cut back on certain things, sometimes to, just to increase your capacity to join the more blessed line. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Because what will another pair of shoes do for you? But perhaps if you saved that and blessed someone else who could use the money that you are using to buy another pair of shoes, you will put yourself in the line of blessing to qualify you for something greater one day. Hallelujah. Something greater than a pair of shoes. So it says they believe that you must not live beyond your means. That means they don't believe in debt. Hallelujah. They believe if you don't have, you don't have. That's it. And I believe that if I don't have, I don't have. I don't believe in having debt. I don't owe anybody and I don't intend to owe anybody. Does it mean I don't have needs? If I start to list my needs, you run out of the church. Hallelujah. I have needs. I have things I could do with money. Do you understand? But I don't believe in borrowing. I don't believe in going to owe someone. And Jews don't believe that. They don't believe you. They believe you must live within your means. This is what you have. That's what you have. I have one pair of shoes that I wear to my church every Sunday. And I just wear it. That's what I have. That's it. By the grace of God, I can afford more than a pair of shoes. But what I mean is that you should. Sometimes it's even the pressure to impress people. You see, that throws you beyond your means. Yeah. If I wear this, they are going to say, you know, they are going to say, look, I've been in church. I've been a pastor for some time. I've had sometimes people didn't come to church. What's the reason? Because they said they had nothing to wear. I'm talking about people who can't even find their things. So many things they have. So one day I suggested to a lady, but you wore this nice jacket to church last Sunday. Why don't you repeat it? So, no, Pastor. I'm a lady. Now it's men who repeat. Shame on you. Yeah. Oh, no, Pastor, I'm a lady. You know, people will see. Since you came to church, how many of you, since you entered this service, you have been looking to see what people are wearing? You tell me. Samuel, have you observed what she's wearing? Hasn't even occurred to you. If we go home and we ask today, what was Shegun wearing today? What was he wearing? You won't even remember. You get it? But it's a certain delusion that we have, that we feel that we must impress people who are not even looking. And that causes people to get into debt, to buy things they can't afford, to buy things before they have even earned the money to pay for them. Do you see what I'm saying? So by the time you are earning the money, it's already spent. That's why sometimes working is very difficult. Because there's no benefit. You get it? As you're receiving the paycheck, you know where it's going. Do you see? That's why sometimes when you go to the ATM and you punch in the numbers, after you take the money, it's the walking is a little slow. Just because the joy of the experience is gone, because what you are grabbing is in your hand but it's not yours. So you go there and then you take the money and then beep 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 beep. Then sometimes you want to go back and check to see if the thing has actually gone off. Yeah. Because you're trying to impress people. Hallelujah. Say, I'm free from impressing people. Amen. Look, whatever you have, if you have just one dress, in this church we don't inspect dresses. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's not a fashion parade in this church. There's no rule that says anywhere in this church you have to wear this or that. Sometimes I wear jeans to church. Actually, I'm just approaching the jeans season. I'm going to start wearing them again. Do you see what I'm saying? But it's our church. If I come and visit you in your house, anything that you are not ashamed of entertaining me in, you should not be ashamed to bring it to church. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yes. If I come to your house and you think it's good enough for you to come out of your room with that thing to come and see me, then you might as well bring it to church. If it's not good for church, don't show it to me in your house. Then. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Because it's you I want, not your clothes. I didn't come to inspect your clothes. I came to see you. And you seem to understand that I came to see you. That's why you are not trying to impress me. So you come out of your room as you are, decently dressed. And we are fellowshipping. We are all happy. Why can't we do that in the church also? Sometimes we even drive poor people away from the church because of a certain unspoken standard that we have set in the church. Pastor is saying that we shouldn't dress nicely. No, no, no. See, you have a habit of always turning my messages upside down. But I'm saying that it is not a fashion parade. We must not strive to impress people. What we must rather work to do, he says, you must rather labor to give beyond your means. Because that rather walks you into a blessing and makes you, it takes away, he says, it makes more money come back to you. Now, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Okay, I want you to understand that what we are saying is the Bible. Not that now they are teaching Jewish teachings in the church. Okay, look at it. Everybody read. One, two, let's read from the screen. Everybody, one, two, three, go. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall what? Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that ye met withal shall it. Pastor, can you give us a less meet withal type of verse? Akwesi, do you meet withal? Good. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Can you see that? This is what he was trying to say by the meat with all. Says that by the standard, you see, when you look at people and you are looking for money to bless somebody, and then you look, it's a Kwesi. Oh, if it's a Kwesi, $5 is okay. Yes. Hey, Akwesi, I feel like blessing you, brother. I have something in my hand. Say blessing, blessing, blessing. So when he received even the introduction, he thought that. He's bought a new car. And then he's going to open his hands. Open. And then he'll see it's $5. You see, and you, it's because it's him. You set a certain standard. And we all do that. We have that in our minds. We take the person and we decide, because it's this person, this is okay. Then there are other times when we look at another person. Then you say, oh, is it for this person? Oh no, if it's this person, let me add some more. Are you getting the picture? And unfortunately, even when it comes to giving to God, God is the one who experiences this the most. Because people have an attitude when they are giving to God. They feel that, oh, as for the church, it's not, you don't have to give a lot of money at church. It's collection. It's called collection. You just pass it around. And then you just put something inside. So people give the smallest amounts. Not only the smallest amounts in the weakest notes, the dirtiest of the currency, then people would take it. And then I've seen sometimes treasurers, as they were trying to, Yehuda, as they were trying to straighten out the money ripped. Because people have found, you know, the weakest notes that they could find, you know, and then after they found it, because it's for the Lord, it should be secret. You don't know that you are actually being governed, not by your neighbor you don't want to see, but by the principle you are trying to obey, that the standard you have set, you are actually setting that standard for yourself. He says, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. God has already guaranteed that if you give, it will be given to you. This part of it, you don't control it. Do you understand? God says that when you give, you activate a principle that it will be given back to you. But where you control it is the standard. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, what you control is the standard. It's like a computer. They say that what you put in is what will come out. Now, you are not the one who invented the system of putting in and coming out. Do you understand? What you control is what you get based on what you put in. Are you understanding the word of God? Yeah. So you do this and then you give. So now, you are the treasurer. Can you open the money? And they start. Then they'll be opening, finding the money. This is for God. And then they straighten it. Yeah. See. Yeah. One day, that some treasurers in one of the churches I was in, they said they went to the bank. As they were paying the money and the bank people saw the notes, the lady asked, are you a church? The condition of the note shows that You see, well, anytime you see money like this, it means it's gone to church and come. Yeah. Before it goes to church, when it hasn't been to church, it looks like this. See, it's straight. Yeah. Because when you are buying something, you want the person to see clearly. This is what you are giving him. So he gives you the proper change. So you straighten it out for him. Nobody buys like that and gives it. No. Anytime you see a note that has experienced it, it means it came from church not long ago. Hallelujah. So by the standard, it says by the standard, by the standard, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. God said men will pour in your lap. Men will pour into your lap. People will give to you if you become a giver. That is why the principle is saying that, look, rather strive to give beyond what you can even afford, because it will trigger a return that will take care of your needs and push you into abundance. Can I have an amen? How many are understanding what I'm sharing with you? Hallelujah. Let's just read one more principle quickly and then we'll close the service. Amen. Our time is up, but I just want to give you this one principle and then we'll run away. Amen. Okay. Next one is that Jews believe you must give money not just to do good, but to do well. Do you understand? That you must give money so that you can do well. You must give money not just to help somebody, but it helps you. Hallelujah. It helps you. Now, Proverbs 11 verse 24, Pastor Munene, very quickly. Proverbs 11 verse 24. Proverbs 11 verse 24. Say, you must give money to do well. You must give money so that you do well. Not just for the person. When you give money, you don't only do good to the person who is receiving it, but you give money so that you yourself will do well. Hallelujah. Do you have Proverbs 11, 24? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, very quickly. It says, there is, look at it, everybody read, 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, go. There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it only results in want. Let's read it again. 1, 2, 3, go. There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. Hallelujah. Think about it. Many opportunities that you had to give that you didn't give. How did it change your life anyway? What you kept? Do you understand? Rather, you robbed yourself of the opportunity of increasing all the more. He says there is somebody who is always scattering. He gives some here, he gives some here, he gives some here, gives some here. Always helping someone. Always involved in parting with money and gifts and so on. And the Bible says, yet he increases all the more. He always has. And then there is another person who withholds even what is due to a person. Do you understand? Yeah, there is sometimes what the person is due him. Do you understand? The person has been such a blessing to you. He has helped you. He's done this. He's done that. He's done that. And so it's his birthday or her birthday or something. It's due her for all that she has done for you. Sometimes your mother or your relative, all that they've done for you, it's due them. But even that you are withholding. And what did it become? It says it still only results in want. Hallelujah. He withholds. And he's still poor. So the poverty makes him want to withhold more. And withholding more makes him even poorer. And that makes him want to withhold more. And that makes him even poorer. The only way to break out of the cycle is to join the people at the top. Can I have an amen? And that is what God wants for us. God wants you to learn how to part. Learn how to part with things. Learn how to part with especially money. Because you need to learn to give in order to do well. I pray that God will bless his word and cause you to become a giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's bring the service to a close. And we will continue from here next week. Amen. Have you been blessed?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Just bow your heads and let's pray. Everybody, just pray that God will make you a giver. Say, Lord, please make me a giver in the name of Jesus. Just pray. Lift up your hand, everybody, and pray. And say, Lord, I may not have much, but this is not about much. As we are reading the thing, you realize that there's no mention of currency. There's no mention of amount. It's just principles that God wants to introduce into your life. God just wants to bring this into your life. Hallelujah. God wants to break the cycle of poverty and want and struggle. God wants to break that out of your life and wants to place you on the line of blessing. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed. There is more blessing in giving than receiving. You help yourself more by giving something to someone, or by giving to the Lord, or by partaking in any form of giving. You help yourself much more than by receiving anything from anyone. You are helped more by what you give than by what you receive. So pray that God will help you join the givers in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we pray. We pray that poverty will be eliminated from our midst in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that we will not be poor. We pray that you will deliver us from the plight of people like us. People like us, oh God, deliver us from the plight of people like us. Deliver us from the poverty that plagues people like us. And help us to walk in Abraham's blessing as you have ordained for us in the name of Jesus. Let your blessing and prosperity fall upon your people. We declare that we are not poor in this church. We declare that there is no poor one among us in the name of Jesus. We declare that we have the blessings of Abraham. We declare that we are rich. We declare that we have more than enough to take care of our needs. Whatever it is, God will supply our needs. God is able to cause men to supply our needs. God is able to cause people to give to us. God is able to send favor our way in ways we cannot even create, in ways we could never imagine. We could never have imagined it. And yet God is able to cause us to benefit from them. In the name of Jesus, we choose to align ourselves with his principles, that we may inherit his blessings. Thank you, Father, for your blessing this day in the name of Jesus. I want us all to say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord, and I confess with my mouth that God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for what your blood has done for me. Now that your blood has washed me, I declare, Lord, and agree with the scriptures, I am a descendant of Abraham because I am in Christ. And so I am an heir of the promise. I qualify to inherit the promise. The promise of blessing upon the descendants of Abraham. I see myself as a blessed person. Say, I am a blessed person. I am a blessed person. Say, I am very blessed. I have no needs. All my needs are met. Because I'm a blessed person. Say, I give. Say, I'm a giver. I'm on the giving side. That puts me on the more blessed side. I am always giving, always scattering, and yet increasing. I do not withhold what is due others. so I don't become poor. I'm on the giving side. I'm on the giving side. Say, I give. I give to people. I give to the poor. I give to support the work of God. Say, I pay my tithe. I am one of the givers and one of the more blessed ones. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen.